Episode number 250.
The secret is doing the stuff that most people will never do to kind of live like most people never will, and doing it consistently on a daily basis. That's the secret to scaling up a business. It's also the secret to scaling up your life, right? Or anything you want to achieve.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know I'm always fired up. I'm ready to go, ready to get the next show on the road. But I'm more importantly fired up for this show more than ever right now, folks, because we're going to talk about how to scale up your business. And I'm pumped to talk to you because we got our featured guest, Nick Bradley. Nick, are you ready to be real?
Travis, I am, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm ready to go.
He's ready to go, folks. And just so you know a little bit more about Nick, Nick helps entrepreneurs and investors take their business, transform their company from good to great, to the ones that get the big exit, to the ones that get the big checks, and the ones that transform the world. Folks, he is a business growth specialist. Outside of that, he's also an investor, a speaker, a coach. Does a lot of different stuff in the M&A, merging acquisitions world. And folks, he has his own podcast called the Scale Up Your Business Podcast. And so excited to have you on the show today. How's your day going today?
Mate, it's awesome. It's awesome. But it's the end of my day.
It's probably
the beginning of your day because yes. I'm based the other side of the pond, as they say, in the
Absolutely.
UK.
So, yeah, that's the beautiful intense, thing man. About Zoom and the internet and technology is that we can have conversations with people. You don't have to fly on a plane to come out and visit with your boy, vice versa. In these situations, especially, it's so scalable, so easy. And it leads into what you do is that we had one of our past Chad Peterson of Peterson Acquisitions talking about essentially how technology, he believes, has saved us from this pandemic really getting a lot worse. Because if we didn't have technology, Amazon packages and the Uber Eats and the Zooms being able to provide our businesses, to still survive in any way we can, we'd be really in trouble, you know? And so beautiful thing about technology. But then tell us a little bit about your history because you have an interesting history. You're Australian gentleman. You live in the United Kingdom, London, correct? And then you have businesses
right.
and help businesses all over the world, folks. So he's got a very interesting, not only passion, but a very interesting story. So tell us a little bit about the journey.
Hey, would love to. Yeah. So I'll give you the short version of what's a long story, right? Otherwise we'll be here all night talking about it. But no, I started my first business when I was 18 and I'm an old guy, right? So I'm 46. So this was back in the sort of late 80s, early 90s, right?
Right.
And it was a personal training fitness business. And of course, personal training and fitness is like a thing now. Everyone's kind of either had a personal trainer or knows someone who's got one.
Right.
But back in the late 80s, like that was a new thing. So I started this kind of new concept and sort of scaled that business up, sold it for a bit of money, not a heap of money, but enough for me to move from Adelaide, South Australia to Sydney, where I became the fitness editor for Men's Health magazine over there in New South Wales. Yeah, it was cool, man. So the funny thing about my whole story is this. I had this kind of entrepreneurial streak when I was quite young, doing the, you know, lemonade stand out the front of the house
right.
and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And then I ended up running away from all of that, right, and getting into the world of kind of corporate. And you know what? There's a story behind why I did that. I was scared to be an entrepreneur back then. There's a reason behind all that. But I ended up having a pretty successful corporate career until I started getting sacked all the time. And it would come to a point where, you know, classic entrepreneurs are unemployable. And I got to a position where I think I'd lost three jobs in a row. In one particular situation, I remember going to bed at night and I woke up about 3 a.m. and I had this huge pain in my jaw. Mm. And what had happened, right? And I didn't realize at the time, it was like I'd been punched in the face, Travis, man. It was awesome, like really, wah. And what had happened is I'd actually cracked all the teeth on the right side of my jaw because I've been clenching, right, from stress. So again, I came out of that. I thought, you know what? I'm not doing what I should be in life. I decided to quit all of that corporate stuff. I was working in private equity at the time, which we can talk about because that's where I kind of got into the business side of things.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go and do all this for myself, which is what I do now. But, you know, I don't want everyone to feel pity on me as I'm telling the story because, to be honest, I made a lot of money And I had a pretty cool time in that corporate land and private equity land. It's just what I do now is much more rewarding, you know, in terms of both achievement and fulfillment.
Well, and that's the blessing about all of our stories and journeys. Some people are just, like you said, you know, right out of the get-go, you're just entrepreneur, and then maybe at some point the corporate path is a better, safer path. I love working in for Disney. I worked for the Walt Disney Company right out of college, even though I was the same way as you. I had a clothing business in college, and I had lemonade stands and paperboy and worked the car washes and did everything in sales and the grunt jobs of entrepreneurship. But then when it came to college, it was like, I'm not going to have a t-shirt company. I'm going to work for Walt Disney Company, and I'm going to get paid real money, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to grow. And then at some point after, you know, 4.5, 5 years, I realized, you know, hey, I'm going to do my own thing. It made sense. Yeah. It made sense at that point. And so I think that everyone listening needs to realize that there's no right time. But if you have that sense, if you have, in, you know, the tension in your jaw, for instance, like you described, if you have these senses around you, that maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe you can either do it on yourself. Maybe you, there's, and a lot of times most of us, we can do it on ourselves. It's just a matter of making that switch in our head and taking the risk, because it is a risky shit. I mean, it's scary. It's scary to be your own boss.
That was the thing, right? That was the thing why, you know, for years I didn't embrace it, right? Because it's kind of funny. I do believe, you know, what you said there is true. Things happen, you know, at a point in time when you're ready to accept them, right? Sometimes you close those things off and you don't see them when they're in front of you. But for me, it was like, you know, great job, can move around the world in this kind of corporate kind of lifestyle. But there was a point in time where I just outgrew that, right? And the writing was on the wall because I was just too chippy and a bit of a dick, and I used to basically tell people what I thought all the time, and then I got sacked. And then that was the time that I was unemployable, and therefore the pathway back to entrepreneurship was very clear.
Yeah, it was just like, one way, baby, let's go.
That's it.
And so then that leads me into then how you help businesses, because you're helping businesses transform. You're helping them get better, scale, grow. As most of us know in business, it's very hard as the owner of the business to scale and grow. You know, and unfortunately right now we're all getting hit with this Rona, where it's like, even if you scaled and grown, and then you're in the wrong industry, you know, and then all of a sudden you're getting closed twice. So in California, the bars are getting closed again here, and in Arizona, the gyms.
Is that right? Yes. I was stuck there in March, man. I was stuck the day San Francisco closed down. I was literally going down the city with a mate, and I had to get on a plane. I know, it was so disappointing. We had like an afternoon playing pool and drinking beer, and then they decided to close everything.
I know, man. And then we opened for, you know, a few weeks to then when then just get closed again. And so just imagine if you were an entrepreneur in that space. And so you got to adapt, you got to pivot, you got to find new things, because it might not be a retail front business anymore. You might have to do things more virtually. You might have to come and deliver the party experience to the person at their house. You don't know. It's going to evolve. And so the smartest entrepreneurs have to evolve. And that's the thing that comes with growing and scaling, is there's an evolution to your business. Otherwise, you are Blockbuster or you're Sears or you're one of these companies that had it all and then you're gone, you know, and then, you know, people don't want to deal with you anymore, you know. And so that's the funny or interesting thing, is even as you scale up, even as you have success, folks, you still could be at the top and then go away.
You know, it's gotcha. This is the thing. I mean, I'll tell you what the trick is, right? Or the secret behind all this is that it's not really, it's hardly ever the business. It's normally the person running the business. It's the identity of that person and how they need to evolve and change as the business goes through different cycles. But more importantly, as you just said, as the market changes, as customers change. So it's funny, when I get brought into a business these days and I'm working with, I've got all sorts of different clients. I've got tech entrepreneurs.
Right.
I've got more traditional, you know, very profitable businesses that have been around for years. The same thing happens. You sit there and you say, okay, we'll fix your marketing strategy. We'll work on your operations. We'll make you more efficient, all that kind of technical skill set stuff.
Right.
But it always comes back to the mindset of the entrepreneur, the person running the business. Always. 100%.
How do you get them over that then? Because that's a lot of times they're holding themselves back. I know my dad, he's got a great business, a legacy business. He does people's taxes. Now it's turned into where he's doing people's trusts and estates, and it's become bigger. It's become, the numbers have gotten bigger. His staff's gotten bigger. He still doesn't have a website. You know, I mean, he's just one of those people that just, he doesn't want one. He doesn't want to. And so it's one of those things that you, the mindset of the entrepreneur is very hard to change sometimes.
You know what it comes back to, right? So there's different types of businesses in terms of the stages, right? So sometimes you can get like a lifestyle business, like you're explaining for your dad. He probably makes decent money enough Right. That's, you know, his comfort. So his vision for that business is very clear. He just wants it to be something which is, he can manage it. You know, right. He doesn't have the ambition to make it a scale up or an
H&R Block, right? Or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly, right. And that's cool. You know, a lot of the time people come to me and they say, I want to scale up my business. And my first question back to him is, you sure you want to do that? Because you're about to hit this thing called the wilderness, right? So but you're making money now. Usually people have got, like, they're making enough for their salary, or they've got the freedom that they want to some extent. And now you want to go into the wilderness and you want to kind of get stuck there, right, like with no water for days, if not in some cases years. I've actually worked with companies that have plateaued for years. And so, you know, first and foremost, it starts with the vision they have for the business. If someone hasn't got a clear enough direction or endpoint, then it's very, very hard to affect their mindset. So I sit there and say, the first thing is know where you want to go and make that big. If it's big, if that's what you want it to be, and then know where you currently are, right? Mm. This is where you have metrics and some of those more boring things, but massively critical in a business.
Right.
And then it's quite easy to work out the path, because you sit there and say, okay, we're now going to make it not just about what happens in 3-5 years time. We're going to work out what happens tomorrow and this week. And we're going to get super intentional with your time.
Right.
And we're going to make sure we have goals as milestones on the path.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, things start to happen, and then they get momentum, and then that vision starts to become more real. And as soon as that happens, it's a perpetuating cycle, and you get the person on fire, literally.
They bought into the theme of it all. They bought in. They see the success. They know that now my mindset's been changed, and then now there's a reason because of this. You know, because now my business is growing in this different way that I'd never even thought of. Or now I'm more profitable because I cut out the fluff and crap of my business, which I think a lot of business owners are driving Lamborghinis and they need to be driving Priuses. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. You know, you see the traditional Amazon headquarters photo of Jeff Bezos and with the spray painted sign. It's just a classic image of, this is all bullshit. You do not need fancy stuff. You can go to a thrift store and buy, you know, office furniture. You don't need fancy stuff. And a lot of times, you know, the guys that are raising money and scaling and going to this round and that round, they're real good at burning money too, man. I mean, they're real good at having nice cars and having everyone getting hooked up at the office. And so that's the thing that I think this thing is going to teach us too, is that money's valuable, man, in a business. And I remember a long time ago, a real successful entrepreneur down in the Southern California area, he always told me, that business, baby, it's about that cash flow. You keep that cash flowing, baby, and that solves a lot of issues. You know, you keep the cash flowing, you stop the cash, man. And we've all finding out, it hurts. It really hurts.
It's the number one reason why businesses fail.
Yeah.
Right? And it's funny, COVID, you know, COVID's a lesson, right? I mean, I've had to advise lots of people on, you know, how much runway they've got. And some people, and I, you know, I don't judge them, right? But they've had less than a month.
I know.
Of cash, right? And you sit there and go, how the hell did you think? I mean, it's not just COVID. I mean, this is obviously a massive thing, which is shine a light on the whole picture. But God, you know, even if something else happens that's small just in terms of your business, then you haven't got a lifeline.
Right.
So I do hope people learn from this, and the ones that have been, you know, privileged enough to survive and have taken action early and done things, then hopefully it's a lesson for what they need to do going in the future.
Yeah. And so, I mean, because that's the interesting thing, is where we're going from this all. We don't know a lot of things, you know. We want to have optimism. I'm very optimistic as a person, as a soul, folks. Maybe you can feel it in my energy, but that's just who I am, right? And I can feel it from your energy too. I can see it in your smile and your soul. But we also got to be real. This is a new world. I mean, you need to be smart with your money. You need to be wise. Don't just start going blowing money right now. This is not a time to go out and just, you know, I mean, this is the time to be very smart with what you're doing. And a lot of times you'll find, folks, that if you put in the time, it will solve everything. Like, just like working out, just like fitness, just like anything.
It is.
If you put in the time, you'll get the result.
Yeah. I mean, I use the phrase, you've got to be very intentional, right? Intentional, you know, be very clear what you're doing and what the purpose and result is. And, you know, you use the words for me, it's kind of like the whole plant a seed and you don't really see the tree the next day. But over time, if you look after it, if you do the reps, if you water the tree, for example, then you get the result. Mm. The thing with anything like this is that's the secret. The secret is doing the stuff that most people will never do to kind of live like most people never will, and doing it consistently on a daily basis. That's the secret to scaling up a business. It's also the secret to scaling up your life, right? Or anything you want to achieve.
Yeah.
But in business, it really is just following a sequence. You've got to get this right first, your mindset first, and then the playbook is relatively straightforward. Once you start to get someone appreciative of that and aware of that, then they start to unlock things. And that's when they start to see opportunities, which were there anyway,
right,
but they weren't in the right place to notice them.
And they get caught up in the emails and this and that. And they're not thinking about their business. They say they're not, you know, that's working in your business or working on your business kind of deal. Like, are you sitting there fighting fires all day, or are you actually spending time working on the business, you know, planning, strategizing, thinking about the future? I mean, thinking about the hard trends that might affect the future for your business and thinking about how things are going to be, you know, you need to be safer. Obviously, we were all demanding more safety and cleanliness for your team, and keeping people is going to be tough. I think, you know, turnover, people are going to be wanting them. I mean, obviously jobs are valuable, but yeah, I think people are going to be, if there's anything issues with their feeling of uncertainty of their environment, I think they're going to say, hey, I'm out. Or they're going to, you know, have a legal case, you know, as my dad, who's connected to the lawyer, said, this is going to be a workers' comp dream coming forward, because anyone that's being forced to work and gets COVID is going to have a case, possibly, you know, like
there's going to be massive change. You know, we said before, we can't necessarily predict what's going to happen longer term, but in the short term, you know, I work with, I've got probably 10 separate clients, on the West Coast of US, right?
Got you.
And most of them are tech. And out of those 10, 8 of them have already said they don't expect their employees to go back to the traditional place of work.
There you go.
Right. That's 8 out of 10. Now, that's pretty disproportionate probably to, you know, everything, but it's still a pretty big number. Right. So what's going to happen to leasehold properties and big buildings in the cities?
Hammered.
You know, so that's going to change. And also there's a piece here where I think I've noticed that the freelance world, or this idea of self-employment, the fact that you have to be responsible for your own income.
Right.
I think people are starting to think about that again, because there's no certainty anymore in the jobs that, you know, I've got friends in the financial services sector where they absolutely thought they're going to be bankers forever.
Just cut and they've out lost tomorrow their jobs. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so, there's a lot of jobs. You think it's a legacy industry. It's like, oh, I'm good forever. Nope. Bye. You know, and then and what happens there is it just 10,000 people get fired. It's not just one. It's like the whole damn department. I remember that happening when I was working in a television business. I saw it coming. Management, mid-management started first, top-level management, cutting all the salaries and bonuses, centralizing accounting, centralizing production, centralizing everything, taking all the staff and putting it in one place, because the internet could do this, and doing production and doing everything in one place for all the 10 owned ABC's television stations, instead of having each accounting department in each LA, San Francisco had its own accounting, Fresno had its own accounting, and all those people lost their jobs. Even though they were in safe jobs. I mean, a lot of them walk around all brag, I'm good forever. You know, I remember one of the guys saying, I'm good forever. You know, I'm here forever. He got fired 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, because that's what happens. And so you're right. And I think it comes into also multiple streams of revenue, right? Like, even if you're working, go see if you can side hustle, side gig. You know, we have all sorts of Fiverr gigs, and I know friends that do stuff on Upwork on the side to do things, and it's a fun thing for them, you know, because they can write blogs while their daughters are asleep at night and make a little extra money. And that's the world we might live in for the future.
I think it is. I mean, I remember when I used to have one source of income, which was when I had the corporate gig. Now I've got 7 separate businesses and 10 streams of income, right? And possibly another 2 coming online next week, because we're acquiring a couple more businesses.
And that's wealth right there, folks. That's true wealth.
Well, the thing about it is, I look at it in 2 ways, right? I think it's be useful for everybody. I look at it from basically what we call horizontal and vertical income streams. Mm. And vertical income is kind of what you trade your time for money for, which is traditional employment.
Right.
And then horizontal is kind of passive and semi-passive. I don't believe 100% in fully passive income, but, you know, there's a piece where, you know, I've got friends who've got Amazon businesses, Amazon arbitrage businesses, and they might spend a few hours a week on that, but it brings in a heap of money, you know?
Crazy.
And so, you know, a lot of those businesses, a lot of those opportunities have been started as side hustles, to your point. So my view of the world going forward is, you know, you've got to have flexibility and agility, and you've got to be open-minded to the fact that it's not going to be one form of anything, really.
Absolutely.
You've got to have this kind of much more broader perspective on opportunities, because we've never been in a better time, right, for this stuff to land. I mean, talk about social media and personal branding and the way you can get your message out there. You can build, you know, authenticity and trust and rapport in ways that we can never do, certainly when I was kind of doing my first sort of jobs back in the 90s. And so people really need to embrace that before, I mean, the opportunity will transition. There'll always be opportunities, but right now it feels like there's a kind of golden time for this stuff.
It's like strike while the iron's hot right now, folks. This is the time, because we all got a little extra time too. I mean, this is the time that people are willing to listen, maybe, you know, to your ideas. And vice versa. If you're a podcaster, this is the time you could get your biggest interview because they don't have as much things going on. They're not press books. They're not. There's not much going on. They can't travel to wherever they want to travel to. We're all kind of doing the same thing. And so there's a beauty of this moment that I think we'll all wish we had, you know, as we get out of this. Like, oh, shit, I really wish that I forgot that I was able to do those kind of fun things with my family and friends and things, or, you know, the things that you're doing now that you might not be doing when you have more time to travel and all the things that we like to get distracted by. But now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
Oh, man, I'm ready.
Let's go.
Absolutely. I'm awake. I've had coffee. We're all good.
Boom. Apple or Android?
Oh, Apple, man.
Love it.
Apple.
The best products. The best products. Netflix.
I've got Apple all around me. Sorry. Netflix or YouTube.
I know. I've got the Apple Watch because my Fitbit went out. So I'm like, dude, I got everything Apple now, dude. It's crazy.
You know, I'm going to say YouTube.
I love YouTube. Love YouTube. Instagram or Facebook?
Facebook.
Boom. Chicken or steak?
Oh, steak, man.
Do you have a favorite cut of steak? Do you have a favorite way you have your steak cooked?
I'm a ribeye guy. And there's a place, my favorite place in the world to have steak, just to give you that, is a place in Las Vegas called the Golden Steer, where Sinatra used to go and eat steak.
Oh, wow. When he used to finish.
Yeah, man. It's off the strip and it's a stunning place. They've even got some of the old waiters there who are literally in their 90s who used to serve the Rat Pack.
Wow. The Golden Steer, folks. You guys got to check that out. It's a hidden gem. I love Vegas and haven't heard of that place. That's awesome. I'm going to put that in my show notes here myself. Love that. Thank you. Laptop or smartphone?
Smartphone.
You can do too much of that thing these days, folks. You can do everything. Plan your trips, get Amazon packages, everything, pretty much everything under the sun. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Boom. Talk about a powerful company, man.
Oh, man.
The sign up Joe Rogan and just went stock doubled. Movies or video games?
Oh, movies these days, but it used to be video games.
Yeah, not as much time, or it's the motivations change as you know, get a little.
I'm a sports fan, so I used to play kind of Madden, and I used to play all the NBA games and all that. I love all that stuff. I still play them now and then, but just not as much.
Not as much, yeah. And there's something about a movie you can just get into, and then you just leave it, and you're done.
It's escapism for me. I mean, I have got a heap of business stuff going on, and a heap of personal stuff, which is great. And I need to sometimes just have that unwind.
Totally, going to someone else's world. I was watching Uncut Gems. I think it was the one that Netflix with Adam Sandler. It's just a crazy thing. Just like how people always get it by head. They win and then they always bet it all back. And it's just a very interesting about gambling. It's a very fascinating
I love
story.
All that. I love learning stuff as well. And I do like watching kind of documentary stuff. Yeah, there's so much cool content these days.
Oh my God. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Reading books or listening to books?
Listening to books.
There you go. Stocks or real estate?
Stocks.
Boom. Do you have a favorite stock for everyone right now during this Rona?
Do you know what? I made a bit of cash on the airlines.
Oh, yeah.
So
trading them, doing some trading on them?
Yeah, not a specific one. I mean, if you have a look at the kind of what was happening, there was a lot of jumping around sort of pre-COVID and now coming out. But to be frank, you know, the Apples and the Amazons of this world have done really well for me. You know, I've had double. My Amazon shares have doubled in the last 18 months.
Oh, absolutely.
Something ridiculous like that, coming with the exact stats. So, so I'm into that stuff.
It's nuts, folks. And I love that because the best thing is, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you get some money invested in businesses outside of your business, like outside of my social media business. I got Tesla stock. I got Nvidia stock. I got Facebook stock. Yeah, that isn't social media. But I also got, you know, a ton of other different companies that have nothing to do with my business. And Shopify, that one was $60 stock. I got like $900 stock, you know. And
the other thing I buy businesses outright, so I buy them for little or no money. So back to your kind of real estate, if you gave me an option of three things, if you said stocks, real estate, or buying businesses, it's buying businesses all day long.
And you do that with other people's money, or
I do it with other people's money, and I do it with what we call leverage buyout. So I actually buy businesses off people using the funds of the business.
Yes.
So that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast right there, folks. But that's a fascinating strategy. I love that. A couple more last questions. When you're waking up in the morning, my man, Nick, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. Why do you love being you?
Oh, good question. Do you know what? Because I went through a bit of a thing recently. I love being me because I get to help people, right? I get to help people doing something I massively love because I'm fascinated by business. I'm fascinated by the fact that it's, as we spoke about today, the mindset of it, the psychology, as well as the practicality. And I also like the fact that it can be a vehicle to change your life, you know, create freedom, build wealth, live life on your terms. So I look in the mirror and I go, I get to help people do that. I get to play in a space that doesn't feel like work. And I kind of get, you know, I can make cash from it. I can do really well from it. So I look and think, you know, I found my purpose. Yes. And I'm very grateful for that.
Absolutely. That's a very hard thing for a lot of people to realize, is like to be grateful for your purpose in this life, because a lot of times we're chasing something else and we're going here and we're going there. And a lot of times it's just you doing what you do best is your purpose in this life. And then doing it at the biggest level, just keep doing it. Just keep doing that.
It's such an important point. And this is what I often say to people, is like, you know, find what you love doing, what you really, you're passionate about, and you're going to do fine. You're going to make money from it because you're going to put the commitment, the time, the effort in. Right. A lot of people are scared to do that, but it's a really important lesson, I think.
Yeah. Everyone's got that gopher mentality. Hey, go to this one. Hey, I want to go here. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to go TikTok. Snapchat. I want to go LinkedIn. And you got to stick to one, folks, and you got to work it. Yeah. You got to stay at it and stay focused, like anything, like we've talked about. Now, do you have a morning routine? Do you have a way of getting your mind ready for the day?
Yeah, it's mental. It's a mental one. You're ready for it.
Yes.
So I'm a 4:45 guy. You know, the reason I do that, right, is because I've got two young daughters, and if I don't get stuff done before they wake up at about 7, then that's it, right? And my day kind of controls me. I don't get to kind of control it. So I'll give you the short version. So 4:45, I do kind of some breathing and some meditation just to kind of get myself present and focus on everything going on. I always do some yoga in the morning. I do a lot of long distance running, marathon running and stuff. So yeah, ultra distance stuff. So I like to do yoga in the morning just to kind of stretch my body out. Then I'm writing a book at the moment. So I spend an hour literally writing every morning to kind of get a certain number of words out. And then I start to kind of spend some time with the kids and get ready for the day. And yeah, it's basically that. But it keeps me focused, keeps me energized. And someone said to me once, it's the stuff you do before 8 and after 8. So before 8 a.m. and after 8 p.m. that makes the biggest difference, particularly if you're chasing big goals.
Right.
And I believe that. I believe it's important to be, again, intentional with that time.
And being a pop entrepreneur and being a great dad and being able to be present with your daughters. Like, you know, if you get that time done, you can be present with them. Even eating cereal with your kids sounds stupid, but it's so valuable because you're never going to get that time back and you're going to always be grateful.
Yeah, they remember it.
They remember it. They will. Their souls will always remember that. Dad was not too busy for me. You know, like that is something that you'll never be able to take back. And at your end of your days, no matter how much money you have or whatever, you'll be so grateful that you had that time. And no one will regret that. I promise you, you'll never regret that. So I love that you do that. Can you give our listeners a little bit of plug about your podcast? Tell us about your show and then, like, you know, your motivation behind it, why you keep doing it.
Yeah, cool. So it was one of those things that I landed on. Let's just say I landed on it serendipitously because I thought, you know what, do I want to do a podcast? Oh, I procrastinated for ages, whatever else. And I was doing kind of business stuff. Anyway, I launched it, Scale Up Your Business. It went to number one in the UK charts and the UK business charts within 3 months. And it stayed there for like weeks. Then it got to number 17 in the business charts in the US, which is pretty good, I think, considering
in the US. Hell yeah. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
And since then I've managed to get every day I get people coming to me like wanting help, and it's become really difficult now, Travis, because I used to just jump on phone calls and try and help people when I can, but now it's just becoming too much. But
too much for your time.
You know, back to gratitude. It's been an amazing ride. And the thing about it for me, right, is because I focus on not just business, I focus on scaling up your life. So it's not personal development in the traditional sense, it's the vehicle of what a business that can give you the freedom of entrepreneurship, you know, all of those really positive things that sometimes people don't connect with when they're in that struggle zone, that wilderness. Mm. So I think because I've got very practical but quite emotive around all of those different areas, and because I deliver it because I'm so passionate about it in that way, it's managed to kind of get a lot of traction very quickly. So yeah, I love it. I mean, I do 2 episodes a week.
Awesome.
Won't stop that. And if anything, it's going to be something that I think
you'll do more. Do you think to one point, do more episodes per week?
Well, I had John Lee Dumas on recently, and
he said 7, baby, dude, batch him up.
He was like 14 and something. He said 2.5 years. This is a great lesson in consistency. 2.5 years, he did not miss a day. So that's what, 700 episodes or something.
Right, and he just hit it hard from the beginning. You know what I mean? So,
I'll do a few, but you know, for me, I've got the YouTube stuff coming on. I've got the businesses I mentioned beforehand. And I'm really happy with that. As long as I'm contributing, I've got the book coming out as well.
Right.
as long as I'm you know, putting my message out there and that message is there to help one person, I always try and think of who's one person I can help.
Absolutely.
Then I'm going to keep on doing it.
Yeah, because this is all still at scale, folks. This is still at scale. Like, your show is at scale. Your podcast is at scale. Like, it's amazing. You can record John Lee Dumas and then put it out, and then the internet all around the world listens to it. And shit, 20 years from now, they can still listen to the same show. And so it's the beauty of it all. And I think that finding that right amount, I think, is very important as the host, because you don't want to push yourself too hard. I mean, I know sometimes I'll do like 7 episodes in a week. I'm like, why the hell am I doing this? Straight up. I feel like
it's hard.
Why the hell am I doing this? Because it's too much on you. If you have a business and you have a family, you have other stuff. You're not just a podcast host, you know? So it's one of the blend of all the things like you talked about you're doing. A couple last questions for you. Do you have a favorite app on your phone right now? Is there an app you like using a lot?
Oh, you know, that's a really good question. I'm using one at the moment, and it's basically a fasting app.
Oh, a fasting app. Okay.
Yeah, I joked around before about all my kind of fitness stuff and running, but it's called Zero.
Zero.
And I've just been playing around with it because, yeah, it's cool. And tell you what's cool about it, right? Because I've done lots of sort of 100K and 100 mile running races, and my body, I'm 46, as I said, my body was breaking down. And what I found is, as I'm doing fasting, things like inflammation or arthritis and just energy levels have changed.
Yes.
So if anyone's listening to this and they want to be super productive and they've got lots of things going on, I suggest they look at fasting, because it's definitely made a difference for me. So a bit of a weird one, I know, but
that's awesome. You know, no, I think more and more people are looking at different intermittent fasting. As you know, you're probably hearing, obviously, everywhere it's becoming more of a trend, but also people are learning about the science behind it, the health benefits, and things you talked about, the alleviation of your inflammation in your body and your energy levels. And how long of a fast do you usually do?
I do the essentially it's what do they call it, a 16 and 8.
Okay, yeah.
So it's 16 hours through the evening. So basically, I will, I think that's right, isn't it? Yeah, it's something like that. Anyway,
that's a real like consistent one. It's not too crazy. You still have an 8 hour window to eat, basically, right? You have 8 hours of window.
Basically,
to eat,
right. You know what? I've got to be honest. I'll let you in on something. So I found out that Hugh Jackman like that type of fast, and I thought, you know what? He looks bloody good in Wolverine, and he's 50.
Fucking Jack.
So you know what? If I can look like that a bit. No.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't mind admitting that to your listeners.
Absolutely, folks. And that leads me into my next question, is if you could sit down to a steak dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Oh, these are always tough. I'm not gonna say Hugh Jackman, even though I do think he's cool.
Right.
Do you know what? It's a bit of an obvious one, but someone said this to me the other day. I would like to still meet Richard Branson, right? And I know
heck yeah.
Because, you know, there's lots of great entrepreneurs, and I'm fascinated by people who have success. But there's just something about spending a couple of hours with that guy, hopefully on his island.
Yes.
Right?
Go for a swim with the shark, too. Go for a swim with the shark.
You know, and yeah, I mean, I'd love all that, right? But you know what it comes down to, I think, is one of the privileges of doing a podcast and having really fun and interesting people and successful people on is you kind of get these impromptu mentoring sessions.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's one of the privileges. I mean, you know, some of the people I've had on, and I'm sure you have as well, you couldn't get to these people normally. And so if I could sit down for a couple of hours with someone like Branson and just understand his journey, not so much ask him all the practical stuff, but just to get a sense of the lessons,
right?
I reckon that would just blow your mind. So I'd love to do that.
He lives like a kid in many ways. Like he embraces that to our fullest, because as we get older, folks, we got bills, we got car payments, we got that rent due, PG&E, and life just gets like real factual and real like less fun. And I feel like I remember seeing him on the top of a hot air balloon having dinner, and it was just doing all this crazy shit. As a kid, I'd watch this guy and I'd be like, this guy is living truly that inner kid in all of us, and has done it in his business.
It's crazy.
Virgin Galactic, and just, I mean, he's just doing new things. And it's just fascinating. I love his energy for life, especially because he's in a ton of challenging businesses. I mean, he's in a ton of hard, difficult businesses, you know, and had failures too, folks. All his things have not all succeeded. However, a lot of it has, you know, so it's just one of those things. You don't have to hit home runs on every single idea you have. If you could give our listeners, my man, one last real talk thought, what would that be?
It would be, if you're listening to this now, let's make it, because it's COVID, it's all this sort of stuff, and you might be going through a really challenging time. You might have, you know, God forbid, lost your job and all that sort of stuff. What I would say is slow down to speed up a bit. Because most people hustle. Most people think, I've got to now fix the problem. I've got to find the next thing. And listen, I totally appreciate that maybe, you know, you've got to get job income. But slow down, speed up. Have this time as a gift to really think about what you want to do with your life, because this might be the thing that you look back on in 10, 20 years and go, you know what? This was the time that I actually went out there and did the thing I wanted to do, the thing I was passionate about. And so slow down to speed up is my thought for people to reflect on.
Slow down to speed up. I love that, folks. I think he is hitting it right. The nail is being hit. Ba-bam! Right on the head right there on that one. And lastly, where is the best place for people to find more about you or the business?
Yeah, sure. Well, listen, come listen to the podcast first and foremost. If you've got a business, there's a heap of stuff on that. And my community, my Facebook community, which is Scale Up Your Business on Facebook. But to get me directly, the best place to get me is either send me a message on Facebook, you can find my profile, or actually reach out to me on LinkedIn. That's the best place. So I get a lot of people every day coming through those two direct channels, and I don't kind of filter the stuff. You'll get directly to me. And you know, if you've got questions, comments, I try and help as many people as I can. So that's the best place, man.
Well, thank you for all you do, man. I feel your energy. I feel your love. I really love this show. I got a page full of notes here. I'm thinking my business, as always, going through these times. And I can just see what you're doing, helping more and more people. I mean, obviously, with your book coming and the podcast continually growing, and obviously, you can continue to help people, but I'm sure you're going to continue to buy more businesses too. So he's going to help people in that way, help people, yep, you know, grow in that way. And folks, you've been hanging out with Nick Bradley and Travis Tutalenhuff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T-Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. Right now, more than ever, folks, we need to work on our reputation for our businesses. And get those reviews, get those positive reviews, get those positive recommendations on both on your social, but also to market on your website. And that is why you want to check out my business, folks, our software, realtimereputation.us. That's realtimereputation.us. Please check it out. It is literally the best thing that's ever happened to many of our campaigns, as that reviews bring together your social and digital campaigns. And the more positive reviews, as people are making those positive, you know, decisions, they're looking at your reviews. And so the more you can get, the better. And make it easy and automated with realtimereputation.us. Check us out.